this morning. It's a privilege to be able to share from God's Word. And it's a privilege for each one, I believe, and I hope you've counted as such, to be able to study God's Word. We hear the accounts and the records of those who have not the privilege that we have and throughout the world are facing persecution and facing restriction of their faith. And there are plenty of individuals who would long to have just one of those Bibles that you have on your shelf. And we today can give thanks to God for His Word and for what He has provided for us. Today our message is entitled, One Thankful Leper. One Thankful Leper. I'd like to pray for myself just now as we open God's Word, and I invite you to join me as I do so. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again, thanking You for Your Word, and now, Lord, in a very special way, asking humbly for You to teach us through it. I pray, Father, that You would speak through me, You would guide my lips and my mind as I share. In Jesus' name, amen. One Thankful Leper. A little time ago, I read a quotation from probably what is my favorite book apart from the Bible, and that book is called The Desire of Ages. I have read it multiple times. It's about an 800-page book if you haven't seen it or read it before, but it is a beautiful, beautiful book, and this particular statement comes from that book, page 348. It says, "It is for our own benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. Thus, faith is strengthened to claim and receive more and more. There is greater encouragement for us in the least blessings we ourselves receive from God than in all the accounts we can read of the faith and the experience of others." An interesting consideration, which is why I think from time to time it's good for us to do what we have just finished doing, recognizing the things that God has given to us, recognizing the blessings that God has poured out in our experience. I can listen, and I'm lifted up by all of the things that you have said, but there's what lifts me up more is when I have recognized the very hand of God in my own experience. And I think that we are being called from this type of a statement to take that inner look, and to see and to try to understand and recognize what God has given and done for each one of us. As I think about that statement, there's a little song that I'm reminded of that we often have sung. We haven't sung it here recently, but I know you know the one I'm referring to. Count your blessings. You know the words. It says, "Count when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed." And some of us feel like that half the time. "When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Why is it a surprise? Sometimes we are not taking conscious recollection or conscious note of the things that God is doing. As we shared with our children this morning, sometimes the things that we see and touch and taste and feel every single day are the things that don't enter our mind when we're actually counting those blessings. When was the last time that we actually truly recognized God as the giver of our clothing? God as the giver of our church? God as the giver of the home we live in? God as the giver of flowers and trees and those things, and thanked Him for them? Some of the things that go unnoticed much of the time are the things that this little song is actually speaking to us about. You've probably been exposed in some way, at some point in time, to the traditional American Thanksgiving story. The Canadian story is slightly different, but the American Thanksgiving story is one that we oftentimes see depicted. Before Governor William Bradford declared a day of Thanksgiving, there had already been a day of Thanksgiving. Before the official American Thanksgiving became a holiday as it was, it became a day of recollection. For 11 years before, they had been celebrating. The Jamestown colony had been through the winter of 1610. A population of 409 in the little colony was reduced to 60 after that winter. An amazing devastation, an awful time of loss for the people of Jamestown. The survivors prayed for help, and yet they did not know when or how it might come. H.U. Westermeyer said this regarding that experience. He says, the pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. No Americans have ever been more impoverished than those who, nevertheless, set aside a day of thanksgiving. You think about that. There'd never been a group of Americans or a group of people perhaps in the history of our continent that had been so impoverished, had experienced such loss, such devastation through natural circumstances as this particular group, he says. And yet, despite all of the loss, those that survived said, we must be thankful. We must be thankful. And so they did. They set aside that time of thanksgiving. When a ship arrived from England with food and supplies, they immediately held a prayer meeting to give thanks to God. And you may have seen some of the pictures. There's even those colonists kneeling right there on the beach. They didn't even take time to have the ship unloaded and everything set up and put away in the pantry. No, they got down and they thanked God for what he had given. They realized how much they truly had to be thankful for. Counting the blessings, even in the midst of hard times, is what that story speaks to us about. Counting and recognizing the blessings, even in the midst of hard and difficult times. We often don't realize how blessed we really are. We don't really oftentimes realize how thankful we should be until the threat of having the blessing or that thing removed comes our way. Then we come to realize what we had received. Then we find that in our hearts we truly are thankful for what God has done. Sometimes it's the risk of losing that causes us to recognize what we have. Those blessings are so many and so often so varied. And yet one thing we realize that we can continually realize by counting the blessings that God has given is that we didn't provide those blessings for ourselves. If you're counting what God has done, then you realize you didn't do it. And that's important for us. It's important for us to recognize that all power, all might, all strength, all giving ability is not within. Humanism today and the people of our world would love for all of us to be caught up in the sweep of this thought that you are everything. You are God. God is within you. Now, we believe as Christians that God does come and live within us, but not in the sense of the way the New Age humanistic approach would try to have us believe that all power, all strength, everything you need is within you. But God's word says no, actually, very little of anything is in you or me, and everything is found in him. All the things that we have, that we count, the blessings we know that we don't really even deserve, the ones that we didn't earn, that we only received, have come from God. And it's a good thing, I believe, that as Christians we celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, there's a variety of different types of festivals and holidays and recognized days in the yearly calendar that we have as a culture. But I believe that this is probably one of the greatest ones that we as Christians can take note of because of the fact that it actually points us in the right direction. So many other of the festivals and holidays on our yearly cultural calendar point us to materialism. Or point us to mythology. Or point us to, at times, the devil. But when it comes to Thanksgiving, we are truly and completely pointed toward God. And how fitting for us to participate and to recognize such a holiday, if we're going to use that term, as what we are this weekend. As Christian believers, we are called to acknowledge and recognize what God has done, what God has given. And the primary, absolutely necessary thing for us to recognize at this time of year, as it is every day, but especially now, is our dependence on him. The world will tell us everything's within you and you've got all strength. Everything you need is in you or around you or you can have it. And God is not brought into the picture. But when we come to his word and when we actually truly stop and remember the purpose of even why we have a Thanksgiving, it has shown us and it speaks to us about the fact that we are dependent. Thanksgiving is all about acknowledging and recognizing our dependence upon God and expressing a corresponding thankfulness to him for what we have received from his hand as he has provided it to us. And so I consider the word of God, and what is in here that speaks to us about thanksgiving? What is here that speaks to us about being thankful in a way that recognizes our dependence on him and yet finds expression of thanksgiving? And I came to a passage that I'd like you to take a look at with me today. It's a passage of Luke chapter 17. This one I'm going to encourage you to take your Bible out for or find one there in the pew around you. Luke chapter 17, and it's verses 11 through 9. It's a story of 10 lepers. Now, the word leper is not one that fits in our vocabulary on a daily basis anymore because of the way of advancement of medicine and things that we have been able to overcome. But leprosy was one of these dreadful diseases of ancient times. It still affects some in our world today, don't misunderstand. But when it comes to the plague that it was considered to be, we have come beyond that to some degree today because of modern medical advancements. However, in that particular time, there was no cure. In that particular time, there was no way of overcoming it. In that particular time, if you were a leper, you were outcast, you were separated, you were looked down upon, and certainly you must have had the curse of God upon you to end up with such a dreadful disease. And so this is the context, the story of 10 men who are affected by such a disease and had to be separated from their families, from the culture, from the society, and live by themselves. Reading now in God's Word, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Here's the story. It says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And you recognize that they weren't allowed to come close because it was a contagious disease. And it was feared that if they got too close, someone else might be contaminated and that someone else might become unclean with such a dreadful situation. "They stood afar off and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.'" Now, I just want to pause there. The culture of the Jewish nation at the time, by divine ordinance for the civil arrangement of the nation of Israel, is that if someone expected or thought that they had healing from an uncleanness of some type, and this disease would be one of those types of uncleanness, that they were to go and see the religious leader, the high priest, the priests. And it would only be the priests, not the doctors, the priests who would declare them fully healed or fully clean. And so Jesus is doing something within the cultural boundaries of the time when he says to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Here's 10 men. Their fingers are half fallen off. Their noses and their ears are being deteriorated by this skin-eating disease. And they come to Jesus, "Have mercy on us, please, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." And Jesus says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." The only reason to go to the priest when you had such a disease or such an uncleanness was because you were healed. You wouldn't go if you were still sick. You had been banished by those very same priests. And however, Jesus says to them, "Go and you will, and show yourself to the priest." And the Bible goes on to say that as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. As they walked, imagine the circumstance. Put yourself in that place. You don't have a finger. You don't have an ear because it's been deteriorated off. And all of a sudden, as you walk along the journey on your way to the temple, your finger appears again. Your ear is back. Your skin is soft and smooth, just like a baby. An amazing miracle. And 10 of these individuals, all 10, who came to Jesus seeking healing, found it as they went on their way in obedience to his word. The story continues. It says, "And one of them," how many? Just one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Now, to turn back in process means that he had not been to the priest yet. He hadn't been declared publicly clean. But it didn't matter to him. He recognized it in his own being. And he turned back, and with a loud voice, what did he do? Glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his, that is Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 who were cleansed? But where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Here's a passage of scripture that we've probably all heard before, we've read before. The story of 10 lepers who were healed, and it points out to us this particular story, a number of things that we want to consider regarding thankfulness today. And I believe that as we consider the story in the context of the biblical teaching on giving thanks, we're going to find that we too can live a life that's filled with gratitude to God. This morning I want to ask the question, what inspires gratitude and thanksgiving? What is it that actually brings forth that attitude, that brings forth that particular expression? What was it that led this one lone leper, now healed, to return to Jesus, to bow down, to worship and to give thanks at Jesus' feet? The first thing we hear in this particular story is the voices of the lepers united as one. They come as 10 individuals, and they fall down from afar. They call out to Jesus, and what is it that they say? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It's where the story begins. It's where the miracle begins, with their plea and their request for mercy. That Jesus would even consider speaking to these lepers was probably seen, at least by the disciples, as something shocking. Because it was not culturally acceptable for you to be an upstanding Jewish man to go and to speak with anyone who was unclean, or to speak with anyone who was of a different caste, or to speak with anyone of a different culture. And here's Jesus being called out to by obviously a mixed group of unclean people, diseased, infirmed, not even good looking. And so it was probably a shock to the disciples. Normal practice in those times, if you came across someone with such a disease, you would actually walk the other direction. You didn't want to come close to them. You wanted to avoid any and all contact with that, with fear of being infected even by the air that they breathed. That was the culture. And they, from afar off, Jesus, have mercy on us, they said. And yet the lepers, they're pleading there for mercy. And there's something that Jesus loves to bestow. And that is mercy. God loves to give mercy. It's a part of his character. Our loving Savior, full of compassion and pity for the sinful and diseased of mankind, loves to bestow mercy that we plead for because of the fact that he is good. And he is merciful. God has the ability to give mercy, and thus he loves to be asked for it. He is merciful. I want you to notice what the psalmist declares of God's goodness and mercy. Psalm 106 and verse 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord for why? He is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then Psalm 118 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then Psalm 136, we shared this in our responsive reading a little time ago. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. As Jesus spoke to these lepers and he sent them away on their way toward the priest, healing them as they walked, one of the lepers realized that he had pleaded for mercy and had received it. He had appealed to the goodness of Christ and had received it. Within him welled up gratitude and thanksgiving. And he was compelled to return and give thanks and express his gratitude to Jesus for healing him. And so the first thing that we consider this morning about thanksgiving is that God's goodness and mercy inspire gratitude and thanksgiving within us. 10 had received, only one stopped to think. And when he did and he realized what had happened, he had pleaded, God had given, thanksgiving welled up in his heart. So often in the world around us today, people ask, but once they receive, they stop thinking. But when we actually receive, God says, now's the time for you to put your brain back in gear. Think, realize what I have done. The mercy and the goodness of God inspire a thanksgiving and gratitude within us. But the second one I want us to consider, the second point, is that God's completed works and deeds in our lives inspire gratitude and thanksgiving within us as well. Notice the scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8. The Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. That's what they did, didn't they? They came and called upon his name. It says, make known his deeds among the people. And then Psalm 26 verse 7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. This leper left with the other 10 lepers to go and to show himself to the priest. He began to notice, as I've mentioned earlier, fingers and toes. He began to notice fresh, clean skin. He began to realize the effects of leprosy and what it was known to do were being reversed with every step he took. Restoration was taking place. And as he journeys toward the location where the priests are, he notices transformation. He has fingers and toes and body parts and fresh, clean skin. Infected by disease at one point, now completely made whole. He was healed. And God had worked in his life. The miracle of Jesus, a completed work of restoration in the physical body, inspired within this leper, now healed, the sense of gratitude, the sense of thanksgiving, and the sense that he needed to express it. You know, there's a difference from feeling it and expressing it. There's a lot of times when I go through my day and I see something and I feel thankful for what has happened, but I tell no one. I say nothing. I don't pray. I don't lift up my voice in thanksgiving and praise. Sometimes there's things that others have done for me, and I'm grateful, but I don't express it. I don't say anything about it. The person doesn't know how I feel. But in this particular case, the leper, now healed, restored, having experienced, that's the key, the completed work of God in his life. Welling up with gratitude and thanksgiving recognizes that he cannot keep it to himself. He can't just hold on to this type of a thought. He needs to go and recognize it. And the miracle of Jesus, the work of restoration, called within him this thanksgiving. And he did something that we are called to do. He broke away from the group to do what he knew he should. So the 10 are all on their way, and they were doing what Jesus said. But in the moment when he experienced the healing, he recognized, I can't just keep going. I might never see him again. I might not know where to find Jesus anymore. He travels around. I might never come across his pathway again. I'm going to go right now. The priest can wait. My public declaration can wait. My restoration of status can wait, because I already know that my restoration is complete. And so he turns around and back and falls at the feet of Jesus and gives him thanks. God's completed works in our lives inspire gratitude and thanksgiving within us. And then thirdly, I want you to consider with me that God's holiness inspires gratitude and thanksgiving within us. How is that? God's word says this in Psalm 30 verse 4. It says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his what? Of his holiness. Psalm 97:12 says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his The psalmist has said it twice. There's other passages in scripture that support it. What about God's holiness do we see in the story of the leper? The leper is on his way. He notices his restoration. He realizes his transformation. He's physically whole again. He was struck with the understanding that Jesus wasn't just any rabbi. Many thought that he was. Just another man. Just another upstart. Just another young guy, a little bit zealous, got a few followers. It happened in Israel from time to time. But this man, experiencing what he experienced, having seen in his own life what he had seen, recognized Jesus isn't a regular man. He realized that divine power, not the word of a man, but the word of God had released him from the shackles of his dreaded disease. He turns back. And now as a clean man, a man whole in body, goes and falls down at the feet of Jesus. You'll notice that he didn't come back and extend the hand and say, thanks so much. How do you express thanks? Somebody does something for you, what is your expression? Generally, you know, maybe a hug, acknowledgement verbally, maybe a handshake. Not this man. This man does something that relates to the holiness of God. This man does something that shows that he knew who Jesus was. He falls down at his feet. We call it worship. We call it worship. He realizes who Jesus is. The Greek word used in this particular passage when it says he falls down, that he prostrated himself there at Jesus' feet. This act of worship is an expression of thanksgiving. Because of the context of what we see. He comes, he gives honor and glory to God. He recognizes who Jesus is. He has experienced his healing and his restoration. And now he comes and says, I'm going to fall down. I'm going to worship you. Because that's what you're due. That's who you are. And I want to express my thanksgiving that way. He realized and truly appreciated what Jesus had done for him. He wholeheartedly appreciated the mercy and the goodness of God toward him. He appreciated and was thankful for the very work that God had done in his life. And now in understanding that it was only accomplished by the divine power of a divine God, he falls down and acknowledges the holiness of Jesus as he worships him. To think that one so pure, to think that one so completely undefiled, to think that one so holy would take the time for him brought forth the praises of thanksgiving from his heart. God's holiness inspires gratitude and thanksgiving within us. Fourthly, this morning, I'd like you to consider that God's gift of salvation and victory through Jesus inspires gratitude and thanksgiving within us. The Apostle Paul has a whole lot to say about this particular concept. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul's famous words, he says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And that gift, of course, was the gift of Christ to our world, the gift of Christ's death in place of us having to die. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Sometimes, you know, in the way that the Bible is written, it's kind of wordy. But the point of the matter is, we give thanks to God because we're going to inherit everything. Thanks be to God for the inheritance that we will be a partaker of, that we will share in. What inheritance is that? He's brought us from light, from darkness to light, and promises us that we will, as we walk in the light, grow in him, receive of him, and one day we're going to be in a land, how does the hymn say, a land where there is no more night? All light. It's eternity. The inheritance that we are pledged is that inheritance of eternity, eternal life, because of what Jesus has done. We give thanks to God because of that. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God. You getting the idea that the Bible writers were thankful? Thanks be to God, it says, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory over what? Over sin? Over death? Over suffering and pain? Over this world? Over darkness? Over Satan? Over evil? You fill in the words. It's over all of that. God, Paul says, thanks be to God who gives us that victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he follows up in the next book in 2 Corinthians 2:14 by saying, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us, I love how this says this, it causes us to triumph. Can you kind of see and get an imaginary picture of the feeling that's there behind that word? It's not just we've been victorious. We kind of just stand there a day. No. It's a triumphant, exciting, emotional experience, the victory, the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. He says, we thank God because it's not only sometimes, but when we're in Jesus Christ, we triumph when? All the time. And Paul says that understanding, that experience of God triumphing always in Jesus Christ should cause us to feel thankful. These 10 lepers were healed from their leprosy, but just one experienced true victory in his life. Just one. Not because they all weren't invited. They all got the physical healing. They all experienced new skin. They all experienced fresh physical nature. But only one reaped the blessings that God wanted him to have. The one who was thankful. Something had happened in his life. He wasn't as the others were. He was not just concerned with himself. You know, there's something about Thanksgiving that calls you out from yourself. If we're not careful, even the world turns this divine opportunity into selfishness. We're called to be thankful, to lift up our praise to God, to acknowledge Him. But if we go the way that the culture will take us on this holiday weekend, the plates will be full, the bellies will be full, and we'll sit back and we'll just think about us. Won't we? It's what the world wants. It's what the enemy wants. But this man didn't do that. This man didn't go on and celebrate his wholeness. This man came back and celebrated God's goodness. And there's a difference. He was open-minded. He was open-hearted enough to recognize that the high and holy God in mercy and goodness had worked a marvelous work in his life. And that caused him to turn around. It caused him to go back, to bow down, to worship and give thanks. And Jesus spoke to him of his faith. Did you notice that at the end of the story? Go your way because your faith has made you whole. First time it's mentioned here. Doesn't say that they had faith before, but now it's acknowledged. And Jesus brings him now from just the physical body experience to the spiritual plane when he says your faith, that is your trust, your belief, your actual giving of yourself over into my power is what has made you whole. It's not just because you wanted a clean body. It's because truly you wanted a renewed experience. Your faith has made you whole. His life was never going to be the same again. Society had shut him out. He was an outcast. He was a reject of the world because of his disease. But now no longer was he going to be shut out. No longer was he going to be an outcast or a reject. No, now through Christ he was victorious over the things that he had previously experienced. Salvation had come to his life and he would never be the same again. The priests and the religious leaders had called him unclean. When the disease was first noticed, they declared him unclean. And for so long, those dreaded words echoed around and around in his environment. Those words, you are unclean, caused him to think about himself in a way that he previously hadn't. You are unclean, changed his view of people. You are unclean, changed his view of his environment. You are unclean, even affected perhaps his view of God. However, his encounter with Jesus that day changed not only his physical experience, but it changed his mind. Because when Jesus would have encountered them as they came along the way, and they said about themselves, unclean, unclean, as was the cultural expectation. No longer did he have to share those words. No longer would he use the words unclean. No longer would he be encased and confined and shackled within the view of society about him, because he had met Jesus Christ. And now there was a renewed identity. The physical, that was fixed. But now he knew who he was in the sight of God. And he had something to be thankful for. He was cleansed. Outside, yes. But inside too. Victorious, triumphant, the salvation that Jesus offered inspired gratitude and thanksgiving within him. The late former president of the United States, John F. Kennedy, who of course we recognize died in 1963, he made this statement, worthy of attention, I believe. As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. Powerful thought. It's easy to talk, right? It's easy to speak. It's easy to say thank you. But do you live that thank you? Do we live what our words truly imply? And I imagine back about this healed leper that he truly then went on to live his words. Not only did he live his thankfulness by coming back and worshiping at Jesus' feet, but I cannot imagine that he went on to live every day apart from another day to be thankful to God. I imagine that who had been, for all intents and purposes, dead in disease, was now alive again in the fullness of health and vitality, and that he chose not to live like every other man lived. How could he? He certainly couldn't, I don't believe. And I believe that thanksgiving for this healed leper wasn't just one day a year when he came to say thank you to Jesus. I don't believe thanksgiving was that experience when he recognized on the roadway everything was back to normal and he turned around and worshiped. That wasn't just his only thanksgiving experience, but I believe that thanksgiving came to him every day as he realized that that day was a new day given him by the God of heaven. And so it is, I believe, with us. So it is in our experience with you and with me. We have been sick. We have been infirmed by the leprosy of sin. And Jesus, by the power of his holy word, has sent us on our way in healing. We have been changed. We have been healed. We have been transformed. Too often we hear the words, what have I got to be thankful for? We've all got something to be thankful for. And God's word says, as we conclude, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Today, God calls us to give thanks. And it's not only for his ears to hear. It's not only for his heart to rejoice over, but it is for you as well. The experience of thanksgiving is for you as well. As you give your thanksgiving to God for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he will do in your life, you will be affected by your own giving of thanks. You will be blessed by recognizing the blessings that you can count. You'll recognize your dependence on him. You'll learn what it is to rest in him. And by practicing thanksgiving and recognizing and practicing the recognition of that dependence upon God will help us, I truly believe, to keep our perspectives in order. Matthew Henry was a famous Bible scholar and Bible commentator. Some of you may have read his commentary. And he once was traveling from one place to another. And as he was going along that highway road, he was stopped by bandits and robbed of his purse with all of its contents. It was the first such time that such an experience had happened to him. He had never been robbed before. And now here he was in the middle of the highway without anything to call his own of his possessions that were on his way with him. How did he relate? He wrote a personal diary entry for that particular day, and the following record was discovered some time later. Here's what his diary said. Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Talk about a man's perspective. That's a God-given perspective. That's a perspective that comes forth from a man with an experience with God. I'm thankful that I didn't lose everything. I got my life, and I've got my experience, and I've still got God. We always have something to be thankful for. I pray today that you will never lose sight of the blessings that God has given you. And that you'll never allow your perspective to be changed from the right one. I pray that you will practice the counting of your blessings, that you'll name them one by one. That you'll count your blessings and truly see what God has done. This morning I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And please know that truly today I am thankful. God is thankful for you. Let us pray. Holy Father, as we conclude this consideration of your word, thank you for the story of the one thankful leper. Thank you for the experience that we see that he lived and how it relates to our lives today. Father, I pray that we would not be calloused, that we would not be closed-minded, that our eyes would not be blinded from the things that you do, the ways that you work, the blessings that you give. I pray, Father, that truly we would be those who lift up holy hands, who lift up, Lord, our hearts, who lift up our voices in thanksgiving to you, our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Provider and Sustainer, and our friend. And for this, Lord, today we are thankful and give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.